Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and we want to thank you all for coming on. I am your host, Red Snapper, and that was Jill Scott. She's gone, so gone. She knows how to get off, and that's how we do it here on Word 60 Radio. So we just want to thank you all for coming on, and those that are listening, the number is 213, the number is 347 215-8539. That is Word Sexy Radio. I'm sorry, I was giving you the wrong number there for a minute. But we just want to get it going, and I know I got my guest host that's always here on time, my boy DV Hint. How are you there?
Hey, what's up, Red? How's it going?
How's it going, DV? How you doing, brother? You know, I was a little temporary off. You know, tonight's show is a two-hour show, and we got a special topic tonight for the first hour. We're going to be talking about why is sex considered sin in some people's eyes. We're going to be talking about that tonight, and we're going to have a couple of guests on the show tonight that's going to be talking in that subject. One of them is a pastor. He's going to be talking with us. But this is Word Sexy Radio, and we do what we do here, so that person understands that we are a grown folks radio station, so the words that come out here are what we do, so hopefully we won't offend no one. So what we're going to do right now is see if we got our guests, and I'm going to chime them in and see if we let them in to see, first of all, 918, and that's Oklahoma. Is this Pastor Freddie Ross?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Well, how are you this evening, Mr. Ross? How's everything going this evening?
I'm wonderful. What about yourself?
I'm doing just fine, and we're glad that you were able to come on Word Sexy Radio this evening. And DV, speak to our guests.
Hey, I'm going, I'm kind of surprised, you know, because I was like, Pastor Ross, I was like, cool, dig that. Because, last week, he was like, I don't know if we're going to have a show. So, you know, when you sent me the
Well, we wasn't.
Show, yeah, you see, I was like, cool, you know, and especially, you know, the topic really got to me, you know, so, you know, it is a pleasure to meet you, Pastor Ross, and
same here.
And I'd love to pick your brain. I'm going to pick your brain.
Yes,
well, that's good, because I'm going to pick your brain, too. Like, we keep it real.
That's right. We definitely do that. And he understands what we do on this show, so it's not a secret to him. And I know Ms. Cotton is going to be here this evening. She's going to be asking and moderating as well. And the second hour, I think she wants to interview me because I've never been interviewed on my show, and for some reason she wants to pick my brain. So, but before we go any further, we also have another guest. We have Ms. Rodriguez. Are you here? Are you there? Okay, maybe she's not in. All right. So we're going to go forward. Now, Pastor, what would you like for you to do? Would you like us to call you Freddie, or would you like us to call you Pastor, or what would you like to address you?
Probably Freddie. I'm good.
Okay. Well, Freddie, what we'd like for you to do right now is kind of give people a little background of where you come from and how you got into the ministry. And you have a book out as well. We're going to talk about that. So kind of give us a little background on you while we're, you know, waiting for our other guests.
No problem. I came to Tulsa in 93. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, originally. When I left Kansas City, I was just in a lot of real rough stuff, and I was just trying to make a change for my life.
Right.
I almost got killed 5 times before I gave my life to God. I tried to commit suicide twice in high school and grade school. And so they had put me on paper and said that I would never be a productive citizen and make it past the fifth grade. So now I own my own business, and also I own a security business as well. And so I do outreach ministry here in Tulsa.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're a homeboy from Kansas City. As you know, I'm from Kansas City as well, and we're broadcasting from Kansas City. Yes, this is coming out of Kansas City. There you go. See, he's in the hood. He's talking about Prospect. But anyway, yes, that is definitely it. Yeah, so we're coming out of Kansas City, and I know Ms. Cotton is a native as well. She should be coming in pretty soon as well on the show. But so what we're going to do is we're going to let you talk a little bit about your book, and then we're going to get into the subject because I know DV has some questions, and hopefully, like I said, Ms. Cotton will be here, and we will get her involved as well. With the question as well on the topic. But before we do that, I see a 973 number. Is this Miss Rodriguez?
No, it's Gwen Carter. How are you?
Well, how are you, Miss Carter? How's everything going?
Everything is going all right. Yeah, I said, let me listen in and see what's going on tonight.
Well, the subject tonight is going to be, why is sex considered sin? And we're going to be speaking with Pastor Freddie Ross, who is our guest. And we also have a Ms. Rodriguez that's going to be coming on with her book later. But right now, we're going to be talking that subject. So if you got any questions, feel free, and we'll let you ask them.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right.
Sounds
so
like
I'll come back to you.
Okay.
So I'll come back to you in a second. But let me get the pastor a chance here. Okay, Freddie, Now, what we're going to do, DV, you got any questions before we go further? Because I know you have some
people
that you want to say before
we go. No, not off the top of my head. No questions right now. But, you know,
okay.
I don't know the history, you know, Pastor Freddie. So, you know, I kind of want to, you know, dig where he's coming from before I get
right.
into the question.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let me ask this question to you, Freddie. You know, you being a pastor, you being a man, first of all, and you being a pastor and a man of God, and you going through the things you've been through, the struggle you've been through in your life to get where you are today, you know, I commend you for that, because a lot of people don't make it, you know, and you definitely was a vessel that God wanted to use to get you to this point, so I commend you on that. But my thing is, a lot of times people get sex confused, and I know that sex is a instrument that God created for us to use to multiply, and also I guess in a marriage of man and wife, it's also a pleasure for a man and wife to enjoy each other. What is your take on why do a lot of people think that sex is a sin outside of that? I mean, I know it says in the Bible a lot of things about sex outside of marriage, but what is your take on that?
Well, I mean, there's several. I can give you 10 different reasons. I mean, if you got time, but my thing is, anytime that you're doing it outside of what God created for, then it becomes a sin. That's Bible for me. I mean, I'm not going to deviate from that. I know everybody has a different opinion, or some people that are listening to your show may have a different religion. But
right. But
that's how I see it. You know.
Okay. So I guess my question would be that, you know, a lot of times. And we're going to stick on this segment, this part of the segment, as far as marriage, okay? So my thing would be, and it's a little out of my norm, but because we usually don't do that, but like I said, Cotton is supposed to be here, and she's going to be asking. She wanted you on the show because she has some specific questions she wanted to ask you as well. So my thing is sticking with marriage, you know how the Bible says that marriage is undefiled, sex is undefiled when you're having sex with your wife, doing certain things in the bedroom. Why is it that a lot of ministries try to get into the bedroom of married couples and tell them what they can and can't do as far as oral sex and different things of that nature?
Well, I'm going to share with you. I'm glad you got the right person today.
Yes,
you know,
I know, and I knew that. So that's why I want you to go ahead and explain that.
Well, here's the deal. One, now God is all-powerful, and he's all-knowing. He knows everything.
Right.
And he can go and write down, have Moses write down not to have sex with animals, not to do certain things, not to have menstrual cycle sex, all these type of things. He never says anything about oral sex.
That
now,
is true.
I'm gonna take it to, you know how people try to play words on you. You know, because
right.
they'll say, well, this is New Testament, that's Old Testament. Let's go New Testament. This is the red letters. Jesus said himself, it's not what goes in a mouth's man, of a man's mouth that defiles him, but what comes out of him.
Right.
Okay, so if you're married, whatever you're doing in your bedroom, as long as it's between you and your wife, it's fine with God.
Okay, so I've been in churches now, and like I said, it's not all going to be this whole segment that we're talking the first hour is going to be on this subject. But my thing is I've been in churches when I was going to church. You know, I've had pastors try to tell people what they can and can't do in their bedrooms. And actually having people come to them, I've seen couples that actually, when they have problems and stuff, actually go into the pastor to talk to them about that. I don't think that should be something that the pastor should be dealing with. Me personally, I don't think. Now, you being a pastor yourself, you probably get those things that happen. People come to you about that. But I think it's like in the church I was in, and I can only speak on that church, they were trying to run – tell you what you can and can't do, and how many times you can do it, and all this. Is that the job of the pastor to do that?
Actually, you know what? No, it's not. But because of tradition, you know, even the Bible talks about how tradition waters the word down. You know, people have even learned about God from grandma, great grandma, and these were their patterns for how to live godly living, and then you look up and grandma was living like hell too. So
exactly.
You have to know God for yourself. You have to know your word for yourself. You can't go on by somebody else. You have to get in the scriptures and read yourself. Because I'm a controversial person. A lot of people in the church say, you know, a lot of other things. This is a controversial hour. And if we can't talk about sex in the church and talk about just like you're talking about real talk, then what's the point? Because people are going to come to you with real issues in my life.
That is correct. So, but my thing is, I don't think that and you agreeing with me at what I'm hearing, I don't think that the pastor needs to tell me how many times I can lick my wife or whoever, you know, or if I can lick her or if I can't lick her or if I can't, if she wants me to do her in her ass, I don't think that the pastor should be telling me I can't or can't do that. And I'm just being real with you because you're being real with me.
I'm being real with that. Don't bother me.
Exactly.
Before, I got saved and got into the church, I was doing porn. So
but
at the same time, you're right. If I want to do whatever part of my wife's body I want to, that's between me and God. So I'm good.
Right.
I'm agreeing with you.
Okay, Cotton. I know you're here now, Miss Cotton. Go ahead and say that. And I know Miss Rodriguez. Are you here now too as well?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, we're going to get to you in just a second, okay? Well, we got subject matter that's going on right now. It's a little bit, we're talking about why is sex considered sin? And we have Pastor Freddie Ross here, who is a guest tonight as well. And Miss Cotton, she invited him, and I'm glad she did. And we're going to have her ask her questions right now at this time. Go ahead, Miss Cotton.
How you doing, Pastor Freddie Ross?
All right, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad you came on to the show because there's been this, you know, the question is, when did sex become the sin? And, you know, I know a lot of that has to do with the fact that some people were not married and doing all types of things. But my thing is that if you're a married person, why is it not okay for us to sit down and talk about what kind of sex we want? You know what I'm saying? And if you need to get some advice from somebody else on what you should be doing with, because you don't always know if you're going to be capable of pleasing the person, because everybody is different. Everybody's not the same. And I think for some people, they think that because they got a long thing or...
You can say he doesn't mind you saying dick.
You know,
it's a long thing.
Hey, this is a grown folks radio, and the pastor said it's not a problem. And he said call him Freddie. That's what we're going to call him.
So,
no problem.
But my thing is that I think that a lot of people think that they can satisfy anybody, and that's not always the case. Because if you don't know that person's body and if you don't know that person, then how can you know that you can sexually satisfy them unless you sit down and talk to them to find out what it is they want and don't want? And I think it's not so much those that are not necessarily in the church, but it's those people that are calling themselves Christians and they're you know, they're so holier than thou that, well, you know, well, I can't really talk about sex because it's not permitted. And that's where you go wrong, and that's how divorces happen sometimes. That's how relationships go bad. That's how people cheat. And you got to know what to do to satisfy your mate. So my question was really, when does sex become the sin? And why are Christians, why do Christians have a problem with talking about it?
Okay, now, before we go on, I know he's going to answer that question. I'm going to let him answer that because there's some questions coming in on the chat room as well. Like, one of the questions is, what is sodomy? And we're going to definitely get into that one. let him answer that. Go ahead and answer that, Freddie. Go ahead and answer what she was talking about. Is that a question, Ms. Cotton?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, well, we had talked about that question before you clicked in about, you know, sex became the sin whenever we're doing it outside of what God intended it for. That's my answer to that question. What was the second question?
Second question is, why are Christian people so uncomfortable, or they, you know, they act like it's something that they shouldn't talk about or they can't talk about, but then a lot of those same people, they're in their marriages because God, you know, because they don't want to look bad to the rest of the people, but they're not in it for the right reasons, and they're not happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me break it down for you. One, if you go back and you know, I've done a lot of marriage counseling. And when you hear people say, well, Pastor, she said she was saved, or she got a good job, or he got a good job, and I had a couple in front of me who said that you know, he wanted his wife to do a favor for him, but he wouldn't do the same thing because he said his uncle told him a man's wife ain't supposed to be, it's not, his lips aren't supposed to go down there.
Really? Well, God damn, that just fucks me all up because I think you're supposed to eat pussy. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I mean, my thing is, hey, I told him, I said, who else is going to eat it?
There you go.
If that's your wife, neighbor, who else is going to eat it?
The neighbor, the mailman.
It'll be other people. If you don't take, this is real. Now we're talking about reality. If you don't take
yes.
care of what you're supposed to take care of home, at home, somebody else will. So.
Okay, Ms. Rodriguez.
Like I was saying. Go ahead.
Wait. Hold up. Before you go
now,
there, Red,
go ahead and finish
your
thought. No, go ahead and finish your thought, and then after that, I'm going to have Ms. Rodriguez come in and say something on that. So go ahead and finish your thought, sir.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying. Just like I explained to him, I took it back to what we're talking about when Jesus said, it's what comes out of your mouth that defiles it. And he had been listening to his uncle who was in church and his dad and all these people, but he learned stuff from them. And then when I went back in scripture and said that God does not say anything about not going down on your wife. So after that, their marriage was fixed because he took care of that night. So I'm good.
Okay, y'all getting quiet on me. Come on now. We'll get some questions in here in a minute.
this is my question right here.
Don't ask if you don't know.
That's right. Go ahead,
DB. Hold up. This is my question right here. Like, when I was growing up, you know, my grandmother held the stance that, you know, every time you masturbated, God killed kittens. And, you know, that was her stance, and she was sticking to it. But as I get older, I come to the realization that a lot of the married guys that I know masturbate in their marriage more than they probably have sex. So what is the, in your opinion, what does the scripture say on that? If these guys are in a marriage and they're masturbating, because they feel like, you know, I don't want, you know, sex with my wife all the time, you know, sometimes I just want to knock one off and go to sleep. I mean, what's your stance on that?
Wow, that's a good one.
Well, I mean, if you're still married and you knock one off, what's the problem?
I like this, Pastor. What church you got, brother? I need to come to your church.
It's called Thomas Running Out Ministry.
I know that's right. We need to come to your church because you don't get in nobody's business. You let them be. If they're married, then it's no problem. But I can understand you saying if they're not married. Now, I'm not married,
right.
And I'm in sin, but that's just me. But anyway, I'm being honest about it. I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
Right.
Now, Ms. Rodriguez, let me ask you before we go to the panel of questions that may be out there. You're just coming in, and we're going to get to you here in a minute because we know we got your book and everything, and we're going to be talking about your stuff as well. But what is your take on that? What do you think about this whole aspect of what we're speaking of tonight?
I think a lot of what everyone has said is, I mean, from a scriptural standpoint, it's, you know, it's true. I mean, I think what goes on between two married people is between two married people. Now, we all know when we're outside of marriage, then biblically speaking, what we do sexually is a sin. But in the confines of marriage, what you do between your husband and your wife is between your husband and your wife. Now, if you're knocking one off because your wife don't want to take care of you, that's different. If you're knocking one off because I don't want to bother her, I just need my release and I'm good, then you do what you got to do. But if your woman or man ain't taking care of their business and that's why you're knocking one off, then that's, you know, a totally different thing, you know.
So what happens if you bring in somebody else into the relationship? You know, I got
to
bring some controversy.
I don't know what the biblical standpoint is on that, but to me, it's in the confines of a marriage and my man is okay with me bringing a girl home, that's my husband. If he says he's cool with it, then he's cool with it. If he's not cool with it,
Pastor,
and I do something outside of my marriage, that's different.
Okay, Pastor, I know what you're going to say. But go ahead, brother. Tell me what you think about that. Go ahead, brother.
But,
I'm trying to make this fun. It don't have to be. Just because we have a minister on the show does not mean we can't have no fun. That's what I'm trying to do here, okay?
There you go.
Go ahead,
I talk like this all day long. I deal with stuff like this all day long. I work in the projects in Tulsa. So this is not a stranger to me.
Okay, so is it wrong to bring somebody else in? Is it wrong to bring somebody in between, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I knew he was going to say that, but I just wanted to, you know.
You just wanted to. You was hoping he said no. No, it's not.
No, I know he wasn't going to say no. I knew he was going to say
yes. Red, let me ask a question. Can you pastor? Can you this is Miss Rodriguez Kai again? Can you tell me where? Because I know back in the day, people, you know, in biblical terms, they had multiple wives. Now, where in the Bible did that become wrong?
New Testament.
Good question.
When we get to the New Testament,
yeah.
The New Testament, Paul said, "Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." He clarified that.
Okay.
But is that
I'm just asking because I did have this conversation with my fiance recently, and I was like, well, you know, just show me where it says, you know, because we knew,
you know,
I knew back in the day you could have more than one, and some religions still allow you to have more than one. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, King Solomon had it going on, but not now.
But see, and I'm not trying to take from the Bible. I'm just going to say this. Now, how much we know that a lot of it was driven by God, man writing the word that God has given them the right. But how much do we know? How can we tell what was actually man's verse's take on it and what was actually written by God to put in there, as far as that goes, or any of it? I mean, I'm just saying because you know.
I agree.
Yes.
Well,
so what do you think on that?
I understand what you're saying. The word says that the Bible was written and inspired by God's Spirit. So, you know, God was using that person to write these words.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, Miss Cotton, are you satisfied as far as you want to find out?
What, Red? I can't hear you.
I'm sorry, taking some questions from out on the panel as well. But are you satisfied on that?
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah.
You talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
Oh, because I couldn't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. So are you satisfied on what questions? You have more questions for Freddie as far as this, what makes sex sin. Now, he basically point blank just said it. It's sin because you ain't married, which we knew that before we brought him on the show. So so what are we trying to learn? What are we learning here is what I'm trying, I guess.
I already knew the answer to that part of the question. But it's Christian
people. So that's why I want you to ask some questions, baby. Go ahead.
It's Christian people who are married that try to make it seem like the sex is the sin, and it's not.
Okay. So
that's where I think he answered I'm sure he answered that question already, But I've literally walked up on, because I write erotic at times, and I talk about sexual things, but I don't say any cuss words, and I don't say anything like that. And I literally hear Christians say, I can't go to that kind of stuff, you know, it's not God-like. What's not God-like? You do your wife every night. What are you talking about?
But
what's not God-like?
Who said cussing was a sin? Is cussing a sin? Who said that?
Oh, that's my point. You know, these are Christian people that are saying this. Of course, nobody that's not a Christian gonna say, "Oh yeah, I can't do that." But I have Christian people saying that, and I'm a believer. I'm a woman of God. I am a child of God, and I have a relationship with God. So there are things that I do understand, but I also understand that I am I'm here on earth. So I'm not so holy that I'm no earthly good, but I'm also not so earthly that I'm no spiritual good either. So I don't understand when they say that. Are you trying to justify for yourself, or are you trying to make it look good for yourself? Because I know that if I get you in the right setting, your little behind will be buck wild all night long. So why wouldn't you be open to having a conversation about what it is that you like sexually? You know, we're adults now, and I think a lot of adults now act like they can't sit down and have a adult conversation about sex. It doesn't have to be nasty. It doesn't have to be that's what kids do. That's what you do when you're a kid, is that everything is about sex is funny, or you just so intrigued by it because you've never done it, or you don't know what you're doing. We're not those kids anymore. We're adults. So I can have an adult conversation with you about sex.
I think, you know, part of that is when we're young, we're brought up to believe that sex is, you know, is a dirty word. You know, having sex or doing these types of things are dirty. You know, when you're in high school, it's the nasty girls that give head and the nasty girls that are having sex. you know, and you kind of grow up with that in your mind. You know, it's not that sex is okay, and it's a Western world thing as well, you know, and African American type of cultural thing. We don't want to talk about sex.
I'm glad you said that.
It is. We don't talk about sex. That's the taboo subject. We don't, you know, and other cultures do, and are more open with it. But and I think that's what you were trying to get at, is what you really wanted him to comment on, is why, especially in the Christian world, is sex so taboo? You know, whether you're married or not, it's a taboo subject. We can't talk about sex. We can't go there. We, you know, as if no one's doing it, but people are popping up pregnant, so somebody's having sex, but we are not allowed to talk about it.
Right. Exactly, and they're buying our books, but they're telling us, oh, I don't read that stuff, but then they come around the corner, hey, I want to get that erotic book, can I get that? Yeah, they do that. So
yeah.
That's what's happening. So let me see if I can get a question. Let me see if I can get a question from the panel. 973, you have a question?
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
I'm fine. This is Gwen again. Yeah.
Yes, Gwen, I know. That's why I chimed you in, baby, because I knew it was you. Come on with your question.
Okay, my girlfriend was married, and she's divorced now. And she said her and her husband, you know, they had, like, regular sex, but, you know,
what's,
I mean.
Regular sex?
Well, you know, none of the head and none of the other stuff like that, you know.
Oh, just regular missionary?
Yeah.
Regular missionary shit, huh? No dog, no,
Okay.
God damn.
Now she's divorced, and the guy she's seeing now, I mean, she says he wants a little of everything, you know, front, back, side, and everything else, you know. And
she's single, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. And
so she's been sin like me. All right, so she's wrong. All the shit she's doing is wrong. Okay.
that's what she had said. She just wanted to know. She said she knows because, you know, she was brought up in that kind of background, and she just, you know, whenever he wants it, and, you know, she has no problem with it, but she does have a problem with it because it is sin to her, but yet she goes and she, you know, pleasing him, but, you know, he wants to marry her, but yet they're doing all of this now. And so, you
right.
know, it's a sin before, but, like, since it's the man that she's going to marry, it'll be a sin then, or it'll be, I mean, what is
no,
it?
No, once they get, and I'm not a pastor, but I'm going to say this, and I'm sure he probably agrees, it's a sin until they get married. And once they get married and repent from it, then from that point on, it's okay. Is that right, Pastor?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
So she's out there having fucked up sex or good sex and wrong. And she's getting served well, okay? But she's in sin, though. I'm just going to be real.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what I'm gonna do is I want to see if the pastor has anything else. Did you answer your question? Was your question answered? Because we're gonna let the pastor speak on that, which you just asked. So, Pastor, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead and comment on what she had just spoken on, if you remember what she had just said about having sex or whatever. Well, I mean,
having sex or oral sex or what?
All of it. Just comment on whatever you feel.
Well, how about
I love this dude, man. He's a good guy. I like him.
How about him getting the Songs of Solomon?
Mm-hmm.
Songs of Solomon.
I love that book.
The one talks about he tasted her nectar. He was talking
right,
about
he did taste her nectar. He taked her nectar because he was eating pussy. See, a lot of pastors don't preach from that. They don't preach from that book, though. I'm going to tell you, because I know from experience, a lot of pastors will not use the Song of Solomon because it's talking about a man who was not married to this woman he was chasing after, her, and he wanted to do all this, which was David.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong, Pastor? He was chasing after a woman that wasn't his wife, and he was trying to get that pussy. So that's what I'm saying. So, but they don't want to preach from that because they want to take away from that. And that goes back to what I was saying. You know how a lot of churches are in the bedrooms of husbands that are married, husband and wives, people that are married, telling them what they can and can't do, and I think that's not right. We spoke on that earlier, so I'm not going to let you go into that again. But and if somebody chewing, I hear somebody like chewing gum or something. But, you know, I'm just I don't know. So did Ms. Carter, did you get your question answered?
Yes, I did. Thank you. But,
do you
know,
have another?
Another thing I wanted to say, I mean, is it, you know, front, back, and everything else is, you know, married, that's allowed, and it's okay?
Hey, I know the file just said to keep the marriage bed on the file,
me and my wife, we swing from the chandelier. So, and I'm not going to let no bishop, no apostle tell me anything else different. Me and my wife going to do what we do.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey.
You heard it from him. You heard it from the pastor. It's all right to be in a dog position and be married. You can eat each other. You can fuck the way you want to. And you heard it here on Word Sexy Radio.
Okay. All right, then.
All right. So let's see if we got another question from, see if 856. Do you have a question? Okay, 856, you don't have a question? Okay, they do not. All right. So what we're going to do now is, Miss Cotton, do you have anything else for Freddie? Because we're going to get into Miss Rodriguez here right now. We're going to give her a chance to speak on her stuff. But before we do that, we want to make sure that all questions have been asked to Mr. Freddie. And if anybody can, we're going to let him tell us about his book that he has out, and he's going to tell us how, if anybody have any more questions for him, how they can contact him and you know, be able to talk to him about this very subject. Because a lot of people are confused on this still, I think. Even though, you know, we didn't really get deep in it, I'm glad that you were able to come on the show, sir. And even though I was cussing and stuff, I'm sorry if I disrespected you. I know that, you know, you mean well in what you're doing and what you're telling us, and I'm glad that you were able to come on this show and do that. So, but is there any more questions, Ms. Cotton, that you have for him? I hear some noise. What is that noise?
That was my only question.
You don't have any more questions?
When I spoke to the pastor, it was ironic that he messaged me around the same time that we decided we were going to do this topic, and I thought that it was great that when I messaged him and I started asking him questions, he was able to give me honest, open answers that wasn't all hush hush, or there was no discomfort in his question, and he didn't sound like he was just giving it to me mechanically. So that I really appreciate. So I appreciate him coming on definitely and giving us an honest opinion.
Okay.
No problem.
But you know, right, hey, so, can anybody hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
You know what I appreciate? It's the human element, because, you know, a lot of times when you talk to a preacher or a pastor or a priest, they give you this holier-than-thou answer and this expectation that you really can't live up to.
Yeah.
You know? And I appreciate, you know, the humanizing value of Freddie. He's like, look, you know, we are all, you know, we are all human, and this is what we do. But as long as you are in the confines of a marriage, you know, then it is permitted, with the exception of bringing another person. You know, and to me, you know, that's all we really needed to know, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you don't want to feel bad. You know, if you want to try, as a man, you want to try an anal with your wife, and she want to try anal, but she like, my preacher said I can't do it because it's wrong. Then, you know, then you kind of like leave it out of the relationship, even though it's something both of y'all are willing to try, because person X outside the relationship said it's wrong.
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
So,
yeah.
You know, I just appreciate that aspect.
Yeah, me
okay.
too.
Okay. Well, Freddie, do you have anything you want to say before we, because I don't know, you're welcome to stay on the show for the next hour if you like, but we're going to be talking a different subject. And,
what you really mean is nasty.
We're going to get nasty. But what I want to do is I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell people how they can get in contact with you and how they can get your book, because you have a book out as well. And I wanted you to kind of go over that real quick.
Okay. My email address is PastorFreddieR@hotmail.com. The name of my book is called How I Got From Here to There, and it's on Amazon. It's $9. It talks about some of the stuff we were just talking about. I was out there. I got wild out when I was in eighth grade all the way through high school, you know. And I'll be real with you. See, a lot of people in the church can't be real with you. This is the stance that I take, and this is the stance that I wish I would have took. But when I met my wife, I was off the street in Kansas City, and I was still driving around with a gun under my seat because I was naked
right.
without it. But at the same time, she was a church girl. I wasn't never into church. So here I'm going into church, and I'm trying to get right and trying to keep on living, and she packs my clothes to put somebody at the door and say, hey, you're going to have to get this right if you're going to be with me. Now, was we having sex? Yeah.
But was I willing to make it right? I knew I wanted to marry her after 6 months. But I went back and I made it right, and she was just like, well, you know, we ain't supposed to be having sex. I said, look, God, no, I don't really know him. But he going to have to give me the grace to go on here and do this thing. I'm going to marry you, but he going to have to give me the strength because I'm still going to keep doing this, and I'm just going to have to get married to him. So I fixed it and I cleaned it up, and I did it in the time frame that I said I was going to do it under, but, you know, it was what it was at the time.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show and being honest and being real, being a person, because just because you saved or just because you lead a flock of people doesn't mean that you can't be real. But I think a lot of people, they put their pastors on pedestals and they do all kinds of things. And, you know, it's just you know, they forget that they're men. And they listen to them for everything on a lot of things. And I think when they start telling you what you can do to your wife or whatever in your bedroom as far as being married, then I think that's not right. So we thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, thank you. All right. So now what we're going to do right now is we're going to get into Ms. Rodriguez. So state your name and give us a little background, Ms. Rodriguez.
My name is Kaixa Rodriguez. Let's see. What would you like to know? Mother of four, engaged, live in Virginia.
No, we want to know how you got into the literary game and
you
what your name
of
your books
though.
Are and what they're
Tony
about.
Tony is
and
part of her literary.
Great.
Yes, Tony is part of my literary career.
Okay.
I am the executive director of Diamond Star Entertainment, which is my fiance's group, which also
right,
is my,
I was on the show
my management company, my publishing
right.
company. I'm the executive director of Saving Lives Through Lit, which is a nonprofit organization that will be publishing books to benefit domestic violence shelters across the country. My debut novel is entitled Beautiful, which is part one of five books, the Beautiful Mess series. And the reason why I entitled the series the Beautiful Mess series is just because life is full of things that are beautiful, that seem appealing, that seem innocent, you know, but in the interim end up being detrimental. And through the five novels, you will take on a lot of those different things. Beautiful takes on Tierra, who just wants to forget about her past. You know, she's dealing with a lot of things. Her father died, who was, you know, her rock, her foundation, and some things. From there, her life just kind of goes down, and, you know, you just want to grow up, you just want to forget things, and you just want to move on, and that's what she chooses to do, just leave her past behind her. But
okay, so this is like mostly contemporary fiction, basically, and goes into a lot of aspects of things.
The book takes on a lot of different aspects. It's not, you know, typical urban street lit or anything like that. It definitely dives into a lot of different aspects, and it's my way of doing my personal life, because I really couldn't take that on and do my own autobiography. So I kind of fictionalized
right.
my life through these five books. You'll get, you know, each one of the characters.
Well, you know, I used to live in Richmond. I was up in Petersburg in Richmond for about 9 years when I was in the military. So
I'm just coming up on
have a little
year.
Background of Richmond, Virginia, and Broad Street and all that. So I know a little bit about where you are and up there and how Henrico County and Chesterfield and all that stuff is. So I know that a little bit. So
you probably know more than me. We're coming just up on a year. We're originally from Massachusetts.
You're what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
We're originally from Massachusetts, so we've been here about
oh,
a year. Coming up on a year, so...
Okay.
You probably
right.
know more about the area than I do.
So what made you decide to write it, though? I mean, how did you decide that you were going to be an author, and what made you decide to get into this game is what I'm, you know, wanting to know. I mean, because I know you want to tell your story, and a lot of people want to tell their stories. But, you know, for you to write this book in a fiction aspect, to kind of talk a little bit about you, but really not you because it's a character you created, what made you decide to do this? Because, you know, I hear people all the time that tell me, I want to write a book. And then they say, well, what do you want to write about? Well, I want to write my life. You know, I want to talk about my life and all this. And, you know, so what made you think that your story was worthy of being told and that it would be interesting for everybody else to want to read it?
I honestly never thought about writing a book. It wasn't on my radar. It wasn't something that I aspired to do. truth be told, I wanted to open a restaurant. That was my aspiration, was to be a cook and to own a restaurant. That's what, you know, I wrote songs, then I started doing poetry, then I started performing poetry, and with the people that I was performing poetry with, they were all doing poetry books. And so it was like, okay, well, maybe I'll, you know, jump on a bandwagon and do a poetry book. And they was like, no, you need to write your story. You need to write what you've been through and how you've come out of the things that you've, you know, gone through. And I couldn't do it. I mean, I spent 2 years trying to write that story and couldn't do it. Most of all from fear. You know, you never know how people are going to take what you feel or what, you know, it's through my eyes. It's how I saw my life. But you may not think you did this to me, but I remember you doing it or I remember you saying it. So, you know,
so
it was a lot of fear.
So did you write because you thought people told you to write it, or did you just feel like you wanted to do it after you got into it? Because,
I sat down and really, really started writing, you know, trying to write my story, this ended up coming out. I ended up coming out with this story 100 pages lighter than what it is now. But once I started, it was really therapeutic, you know, for me to just write. It was another, I love all things creative. So for me, it was like an extension of poetry. It was like, okay, I don't write short poetry to begin with, so I could take, you know, a 2-page poem and turn it into, at that time, like a 150-page story and, you know, just come up with a topic and expand it. So it wasn't my initial thought. You know, I did kind of get thrust into it, but once I really started, I, you know, it just kind of grew and now it's just kind of taken over.
Okay. DV, you got a question?
No, like, I got more of a statement because Kai is one of the contributors in the anthology that we have. And like,
right, I know the name,
Yeah, Melody was going to, Melody got the book. And we went to New York, and I was like, cool, I'm going to read this book. And then she went and left it on the damn train. And so now somebody got a free book, you know, and it was like we had just cracked it open. I'm so happy.
And, you know, I was on her show today, too. And she had me on her radio show. She did an interview with me as well today, which I was honored that she was able to get me, wanted me to do that, you know. That's good. So I'm going to have to get a copy of that book as well. I don't have it, and I'm sorry. Normally I have the book before I have the people on the show. But I'm definitely going to have to support you and get that. So, Miss Cotton, you have a question for how do you say your first name, baby? I'm sorry. I don't want to mess it up.
Kaisa.
Yes. Say it again.
Kaisa.
Say it again, please. Kaisa.
Yes, there you go.
That X fucks me up. But anyway, that's like
you
my name.
You can just say Kai. Kai is fine.
Yeah.
Kai, okay, Kai, I like that. That's cute. Okay, Miss Cotton, you got a question.
Hi, Kai, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. Did you already tell us how you got started writing?
Yeah,
I
got thrust into it. I really did. I mean, I was writing songs and poetry and got bullied into writing a book.
You know, Miss Cotton is, she has, what, 7 poetry books? Miss Cotton is a poet, the spoken word poet, an erotic, and all types of poet. She's a poet. And she is very good. She has people creaming and wanting to fuck her after they hear her poetry. It happens all the time. They get to chasing after her and calling her and trying to get to her and all this stuff. I don't know why they do it. I mean, she's pretty and everything, but they just, it's some of the way she says it, and it just fucks them up. Anyway, go ahead. This is Word Sexy Radio, so that's how we talk on this show. I'm sorry.
Kai, so you perform, Kai, right?
Yes, I used to. Yep, I used to.
Are y'all offended by me?
You know, it's the way you say things. You know, poetry has that ability to take. You know, it's like a good book, but poetry is so much more vivid. You know, it's the most amount of pow in a short amount of phrases. And if you can say it with the right amount of oomph, they'll be like, damn, she's speaking to me.
Yeah, I know that's right, because you're speaking to me now. You're not even doing poetry. It's the way you pronunciate your words. You got to be fucked up right now.
Yeah,
but anyway,
you know, poetry is intimate.
I like that. So you can do that.
But you
I'm going to have
you
and Ms. Cotton do
in its rawest form.
Right.
Poetry is what? What'd you say?
Poetry is intimacy in its rawest form. Because it's what you feel, you know, at your core, and you're conveying it. And in whether it be rhythmic, you know, rhythmic pentameter, or whether, you know, just, you know, be isolated words, you are, it's no different than listening to a song whose lyrics you really like. They're always talking to you because you can understand completely what they're telling you. And you can relate. And being able to relate is the core part of poetry. If I can't relate to poetry, it means nothing to me. But when you know
so I'm
going to
probably
feel it.
We're going to get both of y'all to do a poem apiece before we leave the show.
I get men literally messaging me saying that even though they haven't heard me verbally do it, just when I post it on Facebook, I get messages saying it's like you're talking to me personally.
But anyway.
Every now and then you get women and that's how you end up with stalkers.
You are. You tell them to buy your book.
You are. You tell them to buy your book and they're jacking their dicks and they're reading the show.
Now and then I'll get a female reader that will say, you know, that it, for the female readers, I always get, I'm saying what they can't say, you know. It's a difference. Men think that I'm talking specifically to them, but then women are saying, you know, you say what I can't say, or I don't have the courage to say, the nerve to say.
Okay. Before we go any further, let me get this number out, and then you can keep explaining. But the number, if anybody has any questions, the number is 347-215-8539. This is We're Sexy Radio, and it's grown folks radio. It's explicit radio. So if you're listening, we say what we say, and it's not bleeped. So hopefully nobody's getting offended. And we're this is what we do on the show. So go ahead and finish explaining. I think we'll take another question from – I think we may have another question. I'm not sure. So go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying that because poetry is different, and I think for me, if when a poet is speaking, if I don't feel like they feel it, I'm bored. Like I don't even want to, because you're not giving me. It's not coming from the heart. You're just doing it because you're just up there. You gotta do it. But when I read, I literally read from what I want you to feel. When I put on my soft-spoken, come in, I want you to hear me. I want you to feel what I'm feeling when I wrote that piece at that very moment.
Okay. So would you ladies be willing to do a poem, a piece? I know you weren't ready, but would y'all be willing to do that later in the show? We got another hour and 7 minutes, and I know there's a piece in there where I'm supposed to be being interviewed. But would y'all be willing to do that?
You know,
sure,
I'm always ready.
I wouldn't mind. Yeah.
You're always ready? Oh, I like that. She's always ready. Okay. All right. So let me see if there's another question out here. Let me see if Miss Carter, you have another question?
Oh, is her book on Kindle or Nook or anything like that?
Oh, yes. It is on both, actually. It's on Kindle and it's on Nook, and you can get it from Smashwords as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, it seems to be a pretty good book, you know. You said you've been writing for a couple of years.
Yes, this is my first book. The sequel. Sorry, the sequel. I'm about halfway through that. Like I said, it's one of five. And then you know I have the submission with Naughty Ink Press, and I have one coming out with Saving Lives Through Lit as well, and then Then I'll be trying to do a poetry book. I shouldn't say trying. I've got like three folders full of poetry. It'll just be putting them together to figure out what book which ones you want to put in the book. But
you're not going to go back to music at all?
No, I do. I'm dabbling back into it. My fiance is huge with the music. You know, when we first got together, that's what his company was mainly doing. Was music management and producing and things like that, and I got him. I kind of drug him into the literary world with
that
me.
That explains the lovey-dovey. Okay, I got that now. Okay, that's why they were so lovey-dovey when they was interviewing me, man, because they ain't married. Okay, I got it. Okay.
See, don't burst my bubble. I just want to believe, you know, that all of the things that people say about when you get married aren't true. You know, let me have my fantasy. Just let me have my fantasy.
I'm not taking it from you. It just explains a lot of things. I just now understand. Take it from somebody who's been married several times.
Okay.
Just have your fun while you can, okay? So, Ms. Carter, is there any more questions from you?
No, that's it. That's it, because I was texting her earlier today.
Okay, well, let me check the chat room, because I know the chat room, they've been doing some stuff there, too, because I don't want to ignore them. Yeah, they're just bring no one else in them. About the pastor. It was talking all this stuff about the pastor. Oh, they are married. Oh, I said according to pastor, no. Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. But see, I'm in sin, so it, you know, not that I'm proud and everything, but you know, I'm gonna fuck. I'm not getting married again, not that I know of, anyway. So I'm gonna enjoy myself. I'm not gonna not fuck. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. All right. Well, let's get off of me, and let's get back into the interview. Now, your book is already out now, beautiful. It's already out now, right?
Yes.
Okay. And how can we get the book? You said it's available on Amazon and all the major outlets, right?
Yep. You can get it, you know, the print copy from Amazon or the Kindle or Barnes & Noble. You can get the print copy or Nook or Smashwords.com, or you can go to DiamondStarEntertainment.webs.com. And you can get
now,
it.
Now, I'm going to ask DV. Now, I don't know if you, DV is part of Naughty Ink Press, and I don't know if you know this about him, but normally he has questions that he asks guests that comes on the show. Of course, he couldn't do it when the pastor was there. Well, he could have, but he didn't. Do you have the questions for Miss Rodriguez this evening, DV?
I already know everything about Miss Rodriguez. I know.
Well, I don't know, goddammit. Shit, I don't know.
Well, then we need to get you some questions.
Well, y'all gonna ask me questions in the next hour because I'm gonna I'm getting interviewed. Miss Cotton is Miss Cotton is gonna interview me in the next hour, the next segment, and all of y'all can get in there on this if you want to. And we ask that everybody that's listening, if this is really my first time actually being interviewed on my own show, because I'm always going to somebody else and interviewing them, or I may go to another show. Like I was on a show earlier, Miss Rodriguez interviewed me earlier, which, like I said, was a great show. And you get to ask questions to me tonight in this next hour. That whatever you want to ask, and I'll answer them if I feel like it. If I don't, then I won't. But most of it, it's gonna be funny because you know there's some things that Miss Cotton is probably gonna ask, and I don't know if I want to answer the goddamn questions. But it depends on how I feel at the time when she asks them. So, but let me see if there's another question.
What do you mean you probably ain't gonna answer? What kind of host?
I'll answer them. Now there's another 916 number. Now when I go to you, don't leave if you don't want to talk, because a lot of times when you ask people, do they have a question? They leave the call. Don't do that. But I'm going to ask you anyway, out of courtesy. And this is 743 number, 916 area code. Do you have a question?
No, I don't.
Okay, please do not hang up. I'm not trying to embarrass you, because I know sometimes when I do that. Okay, because sometimes people they will just hang up and shit. You know, I'm not trying to push you out or anything. But okay, so what we're gonna do now? Is there anything else you want to tell us, Miss Kai? About, you know, what's going on in the future with you? Are you doing book signings or anything like that, or anything that's coming up before we get into a song and then we're going to get into my interview, I guess?
Just, you know, to definitely check the book out. I can guarantee you that you're going to like it. It's a different read. It's not your normal everyday type of read. You know, it's definitely different. I think you will love it. You know, it's like I said, it's got a little bit of inspiration. It's got a little bit of church. It's not a religious book, but, you know, there is a little bit of church, a little bit of drama, a little bit of romance.
Is somebody getting fucked in the ass or anything? No, okay.
That's the next book. I had to work into that.
I got you. I got you. Not a problem. Okay, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to get an intermission song in, and then after this song, we'll come back and we'll finish our second segment. So don't go away. Word Sexy Radio is still here and going on. So here we go.
Your words will disappear. ideas, words, Sexy Radio. If you got any questions, make sure you call in 347-215-8539. And this is Grown Folks Radio. We bring it to you like that every Monday at this time. That's Word Sexy Radio that you're listening to right now, and we're doing our thing, and we got the second segment going on right now, and I guess what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to Miss Cotton and her crew of people that's going to be at me, and I guess our guest, Miss Rodriguez, is going to be involved as well, and I guess y'all are going to be asking questions to me, and I'm now being interviewed. So if anybody got any questions, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and anything that you want to ask, I guess I'll try to answer it. Okay, Miss Cotton, it's on you.
You know, try. Now, see, if I had known DV was going to be on here, I would have did a sidebar with DV so we could ask him. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, so we could connect.
Yes,
oh, so y'all ain't going to come at me now? Is that what y'all saying?
Oh, yeah. You better believe that. Yeah. I'm writing down questions as we speak.
Okay,
that's
well,
right.
Okay, well, I'm not running this now, so I'm going to let y'all go ahead and do this. But, you know, if I see that there's someone that comes on, I have to see if they want to ask questions. All right, go ahead.
So
what is that you want to know?
This is Red Snapper. Red Snapper has nine or ten books out right now.
Well, it's actually nine and one to be published. It's in the process of being published.
Okay, so he's got all these really great erotic novels out. And I've been telling him for the longest time that nobody knows anything about him. He doesn't interview. I mean, we haven't heard him be interviewed. We hear him only talking mess all the time. You know. So now it's our time to grill him on what it is he does. Now, see, the first question I had is, what did you do before you were a author, Mr. Rick Snapper?
What did I do before I was an author? Well, I was in the military for 22 years. I was in the Army.
What else did you do?
What do you mean? What are you trying to ask?
They got you into trouble, the reason you had to leave. Let's talk about that.
Okay, she wants to talk about Red Snapper, who used to be Elder Snapper, I guess you want to say that, Brother Cucumber or... Okay, I was in the church. I used to be a preacher.
Okay,
what?
You want to know?
I don't believe that shit. Wait, we weren't.
Well, how do you think I'd be coming at y'all with the word and everything? Okay, no, go ahead.
DV.
Even the devil can quote scripture.
I've known Red for almost 2 years.
I'm joking, man. I'm joking.
You said the devil can quote scripture? Oh, my goodness. Let me go. I got to put the sounder on now. Okay. All right.
You know, usually people go the opposite direction. But in this case, Red came from the church into eroticism. So we want to know about that, Red.
That's a big jump.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you what. I've always been a freak. I've always loved sex. And when I was in my second marriage, and I guess y'all want to know how many times I've done that too,
I tried to give myself a chance. You know, people go through different things in their life, and they try to, you know, change their focus or try to do things. And when I was in that marriage, you know, I tried to give, I gave the church a try, and I was trying to give, I got with the Lord, and, you know, I still believe. Just because I'm not preaching anymore doesn't mean I don't believe in God and I don't pray and all that, but I still do that. But my thing is I got into this church, and I was, you know, was in this thing for a while, and I was doing some preaching and stuff like that and teaching. And I got into a problem or a thing that happened in the church. You know, a lot of times people don't understand, and I know a lot of pastors or people in authority in the church kind of get into these situations where when you're ahead, for some reason, women, they like to get with the person that's up there that they see or whatever, you know. And I think that, you know, it's just kind of like when you see people in uniform, stuff like that, or you see someone that's up there in authority, and you know, and there are some women that go to church to actually bring down pastors and stuff like that. That's their job. They do that to see if they can bring you down. But in my case, I was brought down by the pastor's daughter. So I ended up in a case, which I'm going to write a book. I don't do erotic fiction. Well, I don't do Christian fiction, excuse me. But if I was to do a Christian fiction book, I would write about that story, about how I was brought down by the women in the church. And what ran me out, I could have recovered from it, but what ran me out was how the church reacted, as far as them trying, instead of them helping, all these people were doing all this gossiping and all these things behind. And I actually wrote a book on that subject before I actually became Red Snapper. But I'm not going to tell you where to find this book or anything, so you won't, don't ask that question. But anyway, it was on gossiping and how to recover from that, you know, how people are supposed to be saved and all these people that's talking all this stuff. And, of course, when something happens to you, they want to keep the focus off of them, so they'll keep that going on their direction so that you won't get in their closet. So is that enough?
All right. Okay. We're going to let you fly on that one.
But I'm still a freak, and I love sex, and I'm doing what I do. Okay, now.
Well, you know, anybody that comes on this show already know that, you know.
Right.
We really do. That's hence the word,
okay.
Word Sexy Radio.
Yes, we know. Okay, so who else has a question? Because I know y'all got them. DB's writing his down.
Oh,
you got a question for me? Because I know y'all are interviewing me. I'm not supposed to be running this.
Okay.
So go ahead, Ms. Cotton.
Because, see, right now you're not acting like a person that's being interviewed. You're giving too many instructions.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be quiet.
What made you want to start Word Sexy Radio? Out of all the, you know, venues you could have chose, you chose Internet Radio. Why did you choose this venue out of all the others?
Well, I like Internet Radio because, first of all, I can be me and I can talk the way I want to, and I don't have to bleep out things. I can say things. People can be – the way I designed this show was so that people can come on. Now, I purposely don't send out questions because I want people to be themselves when we ask them questions. So I want you to be comfortable, first of all, when you come on this show and not have to worry about certain things that be asked. Now, if you tell me before you come on the show, don't ask you questions. Like, I had someone tell us don't ask about their family life and their marriage and all that. So I'm fine with that because I don't want to know all that anyway. But unless they're single, then I want to know, you know, we ask these questions of what kind of position you like and all this shit. But the reason why I started Word Sexy Radio is because I just wanted to have a forum where you can talk about sex and not have to worry about it and be an author or whatever you do. And you can come on here and you can be open about it and not have to be worried about somebody judging you. Because they're going to judge you anyway. I mean, they judge us, especially erotic fiction authors. They judge us. They think that everything that we write, we've done or want to do. Or if we date somebody, if we're single, they think we want to put them in the book, which I don't know why they think their sex is that damn good that we want to write about them anyway. So, you know, I just wanted to do that. That's the reason why I came up with Word Sexy Radio. And we also have a poetry set that we do called Word Sexy Poetry that we do every year. Matter of fact, me and Ms. Cotton has been talking about that. We're going to have one here in Kansas City, hopefully next summer or next spring. So that's how Word Sexy Radio came about.
Yeah.
See? Okay, so we got a lot of space now. Come on now. We got
okay.
A lot of space going on now.
Okay,
I got you.
How long have you been writing?
I've been writing for years, but how long have I been publishing? Since 2007.
And so how did you get started publishing? Like, did you have help? Did you have somebody
guiding you? Because a lot of writers, and I was one of them, had no clue where to start, where to begin, what to do.
Well, what I did was I did research. I kind of looked on the internet and looked at some of these what they call cosmetic or synthetic publishing companies that you actually pay, like Arthur House or something like that. So my first four books was done through them because I didn't know. Just like you said, a lot of people try to figure out ways to get published. And a lot of stuff I was writing, you know, I guess a lot of times some of the people, even though Zane has been doing it and all that, some of these people just didn't want to take my work for whatever reason. And, you know, we're not going to really get deep into that. But so I felt like I can do this myself. How I started writing in the beginning was reading those books, not saying that I was better, but I see people writing all the time, and I saw Zane, and I saw different other authors doing certain things. And I said, well, hell, I'm smart enough to do that. And you got people out here, and not taking from the urban fiction authors, but you got a lot of folks that have been incarcerated and different things, and they're writing books. May not be educated as well as I am or whatever, but they're writing books. And I see, why couldn't I do it? So I chose to get into it, and I started writing sexual stuff because I love sex. I told you I was a freak. I love sex. So I was like, hey, I'm going to write some erotic shit because I think I can do this, and it's not hard to write this. And I've been around the world in the military. I've seen some things, been to Amsterdam in a lot of places. So I was like, okay, let's write about this. So I took a setting, and I wrote it, and it took off from that point. So, right, I mean, so it's not hard. But like I said, as far as publishing, I went to – you know, different things of ways to get published. I could have went to Lula and all that, Lulu. I found out now through CreateSpace you can do stuff. And I still use those avenues because they're free until they start charging. You know, I'll use them. But I just think that, you know, the way technology is now, you can get out here and publish. You don't really have to be with a mainstream company because they're not going to do no more than what you're doing. I mean, they have some ways of getting your books out further maybe, but you still got to get out here and market yourself. You still have to do all these things. So I chose to go on my own and create my own company. All right.
Well, we know what you write about. All right, so now we got the gist of that. So my question to you is, what are some of the things that you will not write about? Some of the things that you're like, yeah, I'm not going to write about that.
Right now I said I'm not going to do Christian fiction, but I don't know. I may have to now since I hadn't told y'all about my past. I may have to do just one book just explaining about a guy who went through something that I've been through. But
I mean,
would it necessarily be Christian fiction? I don't even know if it'd be Christian fiction. I think it would be still erotica. Because to me, Christian fiction, in so many ways, is still erotica. Because if they're talking about sex and they're talking about Pastor so-and-so fucking Sister so-and-so and doing all this, it's still erotica to me. Even though they have at the end, a person may get saved or something. I mean, that's the only different twist maybe at the end. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying something I wouldn't write, though, because I like paranormal. I do that. Something I probably wouldn't write is if I had to choose something, I guess I wouldn't write poetry because I'm not a poet. So that would not happen.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's time for my questions. I've been waiting long enough.
Okay.
All right, anybody else got any questions?
I have a question. I mean, were you done?
Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah, I'm good.
So part of my, I think my question is, when you're writing erotic, are these some experiences that you experienced or just things that you would like to experience? Because I know as a poet, I write about things that I would like to have, things, you know, only a little bit of what I have had, but I know I'm still waiting on most of it to happen. So what about you?
Okay, some of the stuff that I write about are fantasy. A lot I have experienced. Most of it is stuff that I would like to do or have heard somebody have done. But I'm single, I'm open, I can do whatever. So if it comes up.
So would you do something in Acts of Congress?
No, I would not.
Go ahead. You might as well tell people who don't know about Acts of Congress what Acts of
Congress
is. Okay,
well, this is a novel, and Ms. Rodriguez, I want you probably, I don't know if you know about this book I've written. It's just came out about 3 or 4 months ago. It's called Acts of Congress. And basically, this book is about congressmen. It's in D.C., and it's talking about three congress people who is involved with this person who is from a escort service. But when they find out what this person's gender really is, they still go along with the sex anyway. The person's a transvestite. and they go head on and they secretly have these things going on until something happens, and then they try to cover it up. So that's the gist of that story. So, no, I'm not into men. I do not want to be fucked in the ass. I do not want to suck a dick. I am not into that. Do I want to eat pussy all day? Yes. Do I want to fuck women all day? Yes.
Okay, what about a post-op transition?
Yeah. Excuse me? You mean somebody who had their dick cut off?
And turn it to a
coach? As long as they don't tell me, look, let me tell you something. As long as I don't know that they've been that way, then I don't know. I can't say that you come up to me and tell me, well, I was a man, I had my dick cut off, and you want to eat me? No, I don't think I'll do that. I probably would throw up.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right, Red Light. You know, we've done this show, what is it, about 6 months now? About 6 months that we've done this show.
Yeah,
I've been there.
The show we've been, that you've been a co-host has been about 6 months now, yes.
Right. You know, and every now and then, you know, I ask you questions and I trip out and we'll laugh. Well, that trend is going to continue. I'm going to go ahead and let you know that now.
Okay,
right?
Not a problem.
Because, you know, I got a bunch of questions I just wrote down off the top of my head. Because, you know, there's no preparation. I didn't know we was going to be interviewing you. So I was like, okay, you know, let me go ahead and write these questions right now. All right. So in order to get to know a little more about Red Snapper in depth, you know, the crazy aspects, I'm going to go ahead and ask you a series of questions. You know the rules. You ain't got that much time to answer them. You know, just go ahead off the top of your head.
One-word questions, right? Okay.
Right.
Answers. All right.
This is kind of which the first couple of questions I'm going to ask is, which would you rather? Okay, which or? All right?
All right.
So which would you rather deal with, a girl with a fat ass or big tits?
Fat ass.
All right. Would you rather have herpes or warts?
Oh, shit. Warts.
Come on, man.
You can't get rid of herpes. You can get rid of warts. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Would you rather have huge balls or a tiny dick?
Huge balls.
Would you rather be with an obese chick or ugly girl?
Well, it depends on her body. If she's ugly and she got a body, yeah, I'll take her.
All right.
I like big women too, though, so it don't matter. Okay.
Which is worse, really hairy legs or really wild bush?
Wild bush, because I like to get down there. So if that shit, I got a tunnel I got to get through, then goddamn, or a jungle.
One of these women's gonna kill me, but I'm gonna ask you right now. Who would you rather be with, Gene Holloway or TL?
No, say it again. You got cut off.
Which would you rather be with, Gene Holloway or TL?
God damn it, man. Why are you going to ask me that question, man?
Because I know they're going to kill one of us.
Oh, shit. TL.
All right. Which is the best position to you?
The dog. Besides eating pussy, I like the dog.
The worst position.
Shit. The worst position? Hell, I don't know, because I like them all. I like missionary.
All right. Is it customary for you to jack off when you write?
I do.
All right. Do you take toys?
I look at it like, let me say this before you ask the next question. The reason why I say that is because if I'm writing something erotica and I can't get off on it, how I expect somebody else to?
Touche. So that means you bring toys into bed, right?
I do.
All right. Who's better in bed, old women or young girls?
Oh, shit, that's hard to answer, man. I would say older women, because hopefully they have the experience. I would say that they're better.
All right. Which is the best sex, with somebody anonymous, a one-night stand, or relationship sex?
Damn, man, he's trying to get this shit hard. Say it again. What's the three choices again?
Which is the better sex, with someone anonymous, one-night stand, or relationship sex?
Relationship sex, too, until they start talking too much.
You a buster. You know what the police correct answer? You a liar. Anyway. All right, here's my last question. Have you ever gotten laid because of your book? Any one of your books?
Yes. Yes.
All right, explain.
Okay. Because most
of the time.
Don't give
us a long Red Snapper story.
No. Most of the time I get questions, can I actually do what I'm writing about? So,
okay, so what was
I
your best?
Yeah, because I don't. What's the and then
give
I
us
show
your best experience.
Since you brought it up, can you? Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, I can do
not
everything
me.
I
don't
write
know
about.
That.
Yeah, I can do. I can do it. Yes, I can.
All right.
Now my experience
would
be.
Don't be like a woman and tell us you. I was feeling kind of I was feeling kind of happy that day, and the sun was out. I want to hear that shit.
No, no. Motherfucker said, I had somebody, okay, let me say this. I had somebody approach me a couple of weeks ago that said they heard me talking about eating pussy on my show, and they wanted to see if I can do it. I said, well, yeah, I can. So we actually went, and I showed them. And I proved them right, that I am a bad motherfucker when I eat pussy.
Yeah.
They squirted 5 times.
In your face?
What's
in my
name?
Face. I can't say her name because she's here in Kansas City, and I don't want to bust her out like that. But it was a 4-hour session, and I ate her. I know people think that's not true, but you can do that.
Okay, so you had a sandwich anywhere in there? You know, maybe some vitamins or something?
It was some fucking in there, too, but, you know.
All right.
So this is why he can write the way that he does, listeners, is because he does what he says he does. So
yeah, and when Red Snapper puts his stamp of approval on, I mean, your book been jerked on. That's what he really thinks.
And let me say this. I don't write about my own sexual experiences with people. So if I'm with you, you're not in my book. I make up the stories. I don't have to write about what I actually do, because I know there's an author that lives here in the city. He writes about the actual shit that he does with people and pisses people off. I don't do that. So that's not going to happen.
Some of the stuff that Red writes about is about me.
Yes, it is.
I'm just kidding. You know, I'm going to get some calls on that one saying, is he really writing about you, Sheila? No, he's not.
How do you know?
But that would be nice. I'm just saying, that's my fantasy. I don't care about everybody else's. My fantasy is that
you was a character in Seductive Company.
I was about to say the company could be about me.
The scene where we was on the dance floor and we fucked on the dance floor in front of everybody. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, Ms. Rodriguez, you're being quiet. Are you still here? Is she still here?
Y'all ran her off.
No,
I'm here. I'm still here.
Okay, I'm sorry, baby. Don't get mad. No, I mean, I know they're asking me questions. Is this not what you were expecting?
So I mean,
you're hearing a lot of things.
With all this talk about Herman Cain?
I can't stand that motherfucker.
Yeah, but he catching it. But wait, he catching it because you know what? They're like, you know, I heard a long time ago that black man's kryptonite is a white girl. But they're basically doing the same thing that they did in the 50s and 60s. If you get caught, basically, if you're a black man and you're caught with a white woman, you are, you know what I'm saying? That's like the ultimate sin. So,
let me tell you something.
Whether you like his
politics
or not.
That ain't even got nothing
to
do with me not liking him. I just don't like the motherfucker, period, because he's an Uncle Tom. And if anybody want to tell him I said it, they can. It ain't got nothing to do with him being with a white woman.
You're like see-through.
Who?
You.
Who's see-through?
You.
Why am I see-through?
Because you talk about, like, his Uncle Tom ass. But we all here because, you know, at some point, there's nobody in here, there's nobody on planet Earth that's 100% whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I'm calling him Uncle Tom because the motherfucker's a damn puppet for the white man. Oh, I'm saying the wrong shit. Damn, I'm sorry. white people that are listening, please don't get upset with me, but it's the truth.
You
get all one of them, huh?
Hey, you know, I'm sorry. I don't know how many may be listening, but if you are, it's not personal, okay?
That's gonna mess up your book sales. Don't do that.
Well, it's not personal. That's just my opinion. Everybody has theirs. I'm sure they talk about my president every day. You know, but that's another. We don't talk that on here, so we don't want to talk about that. We'll leave that alone for now. So, is there any more questions for me?
I'm thinking. So, is there a special lady in your life right now that you know?
There is a special lady, and I try
hopefully
to keep her away
is
from
the
all
one you get a 4-hour session to.
Yes, it was.
Yo,
if it wasn't. I'd be fucked right now if it wasn't. Anyway. Yeah.
It's a lot of trouble.
Shit, I hope she ain't listening. Well, I don't see her number here. Damn.
We'd be watching the news tomorrow. We'd be like, local author Red Snapper has been stabbed to death 10 times.
We interviewed him for a different reason.
And apparently he stabbed himself to death.
I said, then we'd be interviewing Red for a different reason.
You know, yeah, yeah, we're beginning this eulogy.
We lost someone. Now, let me see if the chat room, is anybody still talking in the chat room? Hell no. Oh, Melanie. Melanie, what are you saying? Red, hell no. E-reader, yes, iPad. Uh-oh, what is Melanie talking about? Okay.
Red, you falling away from the phone. I can barely hear you, man.
Yeah.
Okay, can you hear me now? I'm sorry,
yeah.
I was covering the mic, I'm sorry. Well, before we go any further into me, let me ask Ms. Rodriguez, would you come back on the show again, or are we crazy that you won't come back? Or are you still going to have me come back on your show again? Because
what are you talking about? She's been on the show before.
But she has, and I've been on her show. So that's right, you've been on here before. You'll come back then, won't you?
I've been over here before. You know, this is... You know,
that's
like
right,
like working with BB
thing.
And them, it's that
right.
Jump in. You know, you guys are pulling me out of my shell, so it's all good.
Okay, good, because we want you to be as freaky as hell. And you sound so sexy when you talk. I just want you to know that. Anyway, now, and of course, Miss Cotton, you fucked me up too, baby. But anyway, check this out. What are the other questions y'all have for me? Because I'm ready to ask. We got 33 minutes, and I can give you whatever you want to know. So if anybody out there is listening, the number is 347-215-8539. It's Word Sexy Radio. You got questions for Red Snapper, now's the time to ask, because you never know when this is going to happen again.
Okay, I have a question for you. Are you planning on doing any touring with your books as far as book signings and things like that anytime in the near future?
In 2012, yes, I plan to do that. Yes, that I have more time on my hands now. I definitely want to do that. Actually, I got a book club here in Kansas City that just got their Acts of Congress book, and I hope they know what they're getting into, because they're going to read that book, and then they want me to come on the 2nd of December to discuss it with them. So I'm hoping that they know what they're getting when they read this book, because it's not what they think. Anyway, they're probably going to cuss me out.
Yeah,
they probably will. But anyway, I plan to do that. I plan to do some stuff. I want to do the National Book Conference and all that, and I want to hook up with DV and do some stuff. So I'm going to hopefully be able to make that happen this time. I am still upset that I didn't make that literary book conference down in St. Louis, because I was even asked. People were even asking for me, other authors, which I felt good about that. They wanted to see me. So I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to let myself make it to these things, because I need to be exposed and people need to know who I am. And I would like for people to know who I am, because the brand is me, it's not the books, and I want them to know the person that's writing these books and getting this out there. So, yes, I plan to do some traveling, and I'm probably going to come to California, I think. Is that right?
You should.
Well, you said there was something you're going to be doing that you were going to invite me to, so I was hoping that that could happen.
Absolutely. You're invited to anything that I have going on. You're invited when I don't have something going on. Just come.
Oh,
ooh,
damn.
That sounds like an invitation.
Okay. Just come. Okay.
I like to hear it. Just come.
Just come. Just come.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Did y'all hear that? She said, just come. I heard that shit. And Batman did too. Okay. All right. Now, what other questions do y'all have for me? Anyone? Anybody?
Who
inspired me to write erotica or anything?
What type of authors inspire? Like, you know, you tell us about Zane, but who are some of the authors that you grew up with that kind of inspired you into writing? Or even, you know, maybe it was a teacher or something, but who kind of inspired
you? I had a teacher who reads my books today. That's one of my frat brothers, and he loves my books, and he's even tried to compare me, which I don't know how he got that, but he said that I write like Walter Mosley, and that's an honor for him to say that, but I don't think I'm that good. But anyway, Walter Mosley is one of my favorite authors, and who actually started me is a woman that y'all may not even know. Her name is Gracie McKeever, and she is an author of several books. She has about 40 books out. She writes under this publishing company called Sirene Publishing, and what she writes is she writes about stuff like paranormal, and she writes about aliens fucking and all this kind of stuff. And she's a black woman from New York, and she's been around for a long time. And when I started writing, before I actually started writing, I would talk to her, and she actually reached out back to me and told me what I needed to do to get myself where I can write. And she helped me a lot, and I still try to keep in contact with her.
She has several books out. You should look her up. Gracie is. She has all these books. And most of her covers, you know, you don't know she's a black woman unless you actually meet her, because her covers, of course, a lot of stuff is with, you know, has white people and stuff on it. But she writes all these crazy stories, which has a lot of sex in them, and she's great. She's a great author. And another one that inspired me is the late I can't even think of her name right now. I just lost it just like that. But she just passed not too long ago, L.A. Banks. With her art, her writing, that, you know, she's the Vampire Huntress and all those things that she's written. She was great as well. And, of course, I get into, I like these authors, but I haven't read much of them by frat brothers. Eric Jerome Dickey, of course, Elin Harris. There's a lot of authors that inspired me. Some of Zane's stuff has inspired me. I haven't really read a lot of her stuff because I don't want to. Not because she's not a good author, but because she is, I don't want to copy anything unknowingly. You know, just like the book I just put out, kind of about the sorority. You know, I know she had done a book on sororities. I had written that book like 3 years ago, but it took me 3 years to get it to the publishing because of the simple fact that I didn't want it to seem like I was trying to be like her and write something that she's written. Even though it's a different story, it's about a sorority, but she wrote about a sorority. You know, if you know the Sisters of Alpha Phi, fuck 'em. Where she kind of took my fraternity and took Alpha Phi Alpha and it made it Alpha Phi Fuckin'. But anyway, so, you know, those are some of the authors I get into that I enjoy. And there's plenty. There's several authors out there. I mean, you got some urban fiction authors that are out there writing stuff. Imani Truth, you know, Dream of Sky. There's a lot of new authors that's out there now that are inspiring, too. Even you, DV. I mean, you know, Valentine. You know, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of authors out there that I look at that helped me to continue to go on, and make me feel like I'm not doing this for nothing. Like Earl Sewell, he's a great author. He writes a lot of children's books, but he also writes stuff for Zane, and he writes erotica too. One book that I read that he wrote was called Cougars, and I enjoyed that book. So if you get a chance, get that book. That's it on that one. I'll just let that. So what's another question?
Read us a poem.
I am not a poetry guy. Now, ladies, since you said that, if you're tired of asking me questions, we got 27 minutes, ladies. Do y'all want to do a poetry thing, or do you want to continue asking me questions?
Whichever way y'all want to go, I can. Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll take three more questions, small answer questions. Then after that, I'm going to let each one of you ladies give us a poem. Is that okay?
Will you ever stop writing?
You know, there's been a lot of times where I felt like I would because I felt like I was not getting noticed. And sometimes I feel that way because a lot of people are getting awards and they're getting picked. And, you know, I'm finding out that in the literary game, just like everything else, there are cliques. And if you're not in that clique, then people won't recognize you. Even if your shit ain't good, they'll still recognize you if you cool with them, and they'll give you awards and all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? So there's been some times where I felt like I didn't want to write no more because why? I mean, I'm only doing this and nobody cares. Are they worried about a period being here or a comma being there if it's not in the right place, you know, or you know, they get you for that. So I have felt like I didn't want to write anymore. But no, I'm not going to quit because if I'm not doing this for nobody but for myself, which I don't really want to just write for me, I want people to enjoy what I write. But there are a few, and at the times that I get ready to say I'm going to quit, there's always that one fan that comes back and tells me he loves what I'm doing and don't stop. As long as I got that one fan that likes what I'm doing, I'm going to keep writing.
That's
so,
because we don't want you to stop writing. We want you to keep writing.
Because, you know, I, like I said, there was some times I was like, you know, fuck this. Why am I doing this shit? Because nobody cares. But it's not about those awards. If I never get one, then I'll never be a New York Times bestseller or any of that, then that's so be it. I'm still going to write.
That's good.
You know, if I never get a movie deal, you know, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, people do that, whatever, you know, some people get noticed and some don't. And there are some people's books that get out there that ain't shit, but they get it, you know. I guess it just depends on who you know and whatever, but I'm fine. I'm good. I'm going to keep writing because I enjoy doing it, so that's why I write.
Sometimes you have to create your own. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be in a certain circle. I was telling GPA that because he and I both write poetry and have the same views on it, that we have to create our own. You know, even though he does get awards, I haven't. And I'm not really looking for an award, but I just feel like I need to create my own circle. So if it's me, you, and whomever in the circle, I will give you an award. I'll give you an award because I believe in who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't want to wait for the outside world to try to tell me that I am great. I am damn good.
You know, and I believe in that. I believe in that.
Real talk, like, I agree with Cotton said, because there's, like, I look at some of these award show recipients, and these people ain't came out with a book in 3 or 4 years, and they get nominated in a current category. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like a popularity contest rather than a test of skill.
Right.
Exactly. And it's just like, okay, I'll use my frat brother, and he'll probably get mad if he was listening to this and hear this, but I'm going to say his name. You know, I love you, Eric Jerome Dickey. You're my boy. But, you know, you get every year the National Book Conference, your book always gets nominated. He's been nominated last 5 or 6 years for the same. It may be the book that he just came out with, but because he came out with, I guess, you come out on the New York Times best-selling list, and you when you come out with a book, it just comes out and you're already on the list. And a lot of people know how that works. You know, you can go and buy. If you want to be an Essence best-selling novelist, all you got to do is go to a place that's part of the Essence that counts that, and you can go in there and buy 1,000 books that one month, and you can become an Essence bestseller. You can buy them yourself. But why? You know, and a New York Times bestseller is a lot of that stuff. The reason why a lot of them come out on that is because they buy their own books. You know, Steve Harvey might have bought. He's a millionaire, so multi-millionaire, so he can buy 50,000 books and give them away, and then you become a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
You know, by doing that. You know, we don't have that ability. So, I mean, it's just, you know, I love them. Like I said, I'm not mad at them. They have that. They have it. Like I said, those guys, they're doing what they do, and I'm not upset. I don't want to make it sound like that. But what I'm saying is this. You know, I'm trying to come up just like everybody else. You know, I'm trying to do my thing. I'm trying to get people to like what I write and, you know, hopefully buy more. You know, it's not about getting rich quick, because if it was, this is the wrong hustle to be in if you think that's what it's about, because it's not. So, you know, I don't know. I just love writing, and that's the reason why I write. So, you know, that's why I do it. And that's what you got to do. If you don't like writing, you don't need to be in this one. You don't need to be in this game.
You do it so women can throw their coochies at you, so you got more to eat. That's what you do.
No, I already had that going on before DV, but if you want to think that, then that's fine.
I know it.
I'm just saying, you know. But you know, I have cousins that tell me that, oh, she just wants you because you write books. Well, fuck, it ain't got nothing to do with that. You just got to know how to talk to women, which that's a whole nother show.
Yeah, that's another show.
It really is.
That's a whole nother show. All right. So, is there any more questions? We got 21 minutes, and I want to get the poems in. Is there any more questions for me?
You answered all my questions, and I really appreciate that. I just feel like sometimes you don't give yourself enough credit on your own show. You have a lot of different authors on your show, but you never really blast yourself the way that I feel good as being an author and a host of this show. You know,
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because there was a show I did before, and somebody thought I was talking about myself too much. But anyway, I'm glad that you feel that way.
like I was talking to somebody today, and she's a book reviewer, and she said Red is a really great host. She just hates that you put yourself down sometimes when, you know, you're just as good as anybody else, or else you wouldn't be doing it. So,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That was from her.
And you're right. Okay, well, I definitely need to stop doing that. And I'm glad that y'all think of me enough to tell me that. So that's very good. Okay, so if there's no more questions for me, what I like to do, we got 20 minutes. I want to give Miss Kai a chance to do a poem, and I want to give Miss Cotton a chance to do a poem. So which lady is ready, and who's going to go first?
It doesn't matter to me if she's ready.
Well, I'll tell you what. Since Kai is a guest, we're going to let her go first. How about that?
Let her go first.
Okay. Go ahead, Miss Kai.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Now, be as sexy as possible now, because we want to hear that sexy voice, because you definitely got it, baby. Go ahead.
Well, that's not the poem that I brought in. Okay.
Well, it don't have to be erotica, but just, you know, just sound sensuous.
Okay. I'll do my best.
Whoever's chewing, please, can y'all stop chewing, whoever that is. I'm hearing all that moving. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Right. The name of this poem is Where Are We?
Okay.
Okay. Oh, hold on. I don't want it to fall down. Okay. Tears swell in my eyes, and I refuse to allow one tear to fall. I'm knocking back twisted iced teas, one, two, three, and dare I drink four, running from this inner somber. Questioning this up and down state we continuously remain on. Got Vivian Green replaying on my mind because I'm on an emotional roller coaster. Though love fills my brain, and I remain in this state of emotional bliss. I'm helpless, emotionless to enjoy this. I don't know if we're okay, and that's what's driving me slowly insane. My mess? Yeah, baby, I got mess, but this stress, this constant guesswork, baby, tell me if we've come to a fork in our relationship, because I just need to know. I won't let you go, and I told you before, this love, hell, this love is what I prayed for. Your laughter is what dreams are made of. Your embrace, baby, it's torn down my walls, and my heart, it answered your call. If we die, I will bleed, so please, I concede, apologize, let it be me, let it be my fault. If it keeps our love alive, from a scared little girl to the bold woman before you, you've changed me, because I trust you more than any other man before you, even the one that made me. Just tell me what I did wrong so we can get back to where we belong. Because when the tears swell in my eyes and I don't want no drink to pass my time, I need you to dry my eyes and tell me everything's going to be all right. See, I can ride the waves that life throws. I can stand the rain and whatever else comes effortlessly, endlessly. I just need you to hold my hand, because when my hand is in yours, baby, don't you know? You're all I need.
Mm. Wow. Now, I know at these poetry events, they don't snap fingers no more. That's like retro, right? So I can't do that. But that sounded really good and had me going. Now, Miss Cotton, she dropped. So hopefully she'll be back here in a minute. For some reason, her call dropped.
And while she dropped, we're going to talk about her because she ran away. I'm
yeah, well, what happened? I don't know what happened. She's, you know, her phone dropped. But we got 16 minutes, so. But I'm going to see if there's any more questions. I keep going to Miss Carter. I know she's probably tired of me coming to her. Do you have anything that you want to say? Miss Carter?
Oh, hello. I'm
sorry.
Are
you still there? Do you have any more questions?
I was going to ask you, is there any particular woman that you like, you know, hair color, you know, or shape or anything?
Type of woman? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you asked that. I like all types of women, believe it or not, and I'm going to leave the question that answer at that. It just depends on the woman, because I like big women if they're shaped correctly. I like a woman, if she's big, if she has a smaller waist, but she's big. You know, she can have big breasts, big butt, whatever. I like women that's thick. I like thick women because I like to be able to hold what I got. Hair color depends on the skin of the woman's tone of her skin. If she's light skinned, she might get away with her blonde, or if she's dark, she might be able. It just depends. But if I had to pick a flavor of woman, chocolate women is my thing. But I'm not going to say that I'm just stuck on just chocolate women. So I mean, I just love women. So I don't know if that's the answer, but you know, and it depends. It just depends because I like all types of women. But as far as white women, no. I try them, and it's just not fun. It's just not the same to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, you know what they say: once you go black, you never go back. So you know.
That's not what Tiger Woods did.
Tiger Woods didn't say that. Well, no problem. So, do you have any more questions?
I had one, and it slipped my mind because I was trying to find my charger.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll give you a chance one more time. Miss Cotton is back now, so we're going to give you, after her poem, if you have a question, I'll come back to you and you can ask it, okay?
Sure. Thank
All right. You. Okay, so Miss Cotton, are you ready?
Why you was gone, Cotton?
Why are you going to say that? You know who? You already know the answer to that. You know when the kids used to come and tell, the one that told is the one that's usually the guilty.
Is the one that did it, yeah.
Right. So, Miss Cotton, are you there? You're there, right?
I am here.
Okay, baby. I like when you say that, I am here. Now, are you going to go ahead and blow our minds just like Miss Kai did? Because I'm half a wreck. Now, you got to bring me to the full capacity of that.
Ew.
She got me halfway. I want you to bring it on so I can.
You,
my tongue got to get hard. You going to break my tongue, get hard?
Oh. Mm. You know what? I can
hey, Kai. Miss Kai, you did that to me, okay? I want you to know you did that to me. Now, I'm waiting on Cotton to bring it on home.
Oh, Lord. You know.
Just like you said, make me come. Okay, you better get me there.
Let me see.
This is Word Sexy Radio. Remember that now.
Okay, so I'm going to do, since you're halfway there, I'm going to do this piece there.
Yeah, come on, bring it, baby.
It's called Naked.
Oh, Naked. Let's go.
I was going to do something different.
Well, do the one you want to do. That's going. Whatever you say is going to do it, so just go ahead.
This show was technically partially about you, so we making it about you. You. I'm giving you a little something right now, all right?
Okay, give it to me. Come on.
She unbuttons his faded baggy jean pants, loosens his belt. As he rises with surprise in his eyes, he relaxes his upper body. Body can't keep still. She touches what she calls the beast in him, and he gets chills. As she removes the white tee that grips his chest, it's filled with his sweat, he's dripping wet. This isn't lovemaking, it's just great sex. And they get naked. She strips him of the faded baggy jean pants down to the boxes which cover the lover and him. Her clit starts doing flips, so she straddles him. She proceeds to move in a back and forth motion, real slow, just like this. As he rises with the surprise look still in his eyes, he continues to rise, and he's almost naked. Still on top, she realizes that she's wet, her pink lace panties dripping with her moisture, and he still wants it. He proceeds to remove her pink lace bra, her nipples on hard, saying, "Hello." He takes his tongue and moves it real slow, licking just one. She's aroused and ready to come. He can see the surprised look in her eyes, and she's excited. He puts his mouth on her, sucking one breath at a time. It feels good, so she relaxes and closes her eyes. He's heated, and she's ready to come.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
He rips her pink lace panties from her ass, takes both his hands, and grabs, picks up her lower body. And they both get naked.
Damn. Okay. All right, so what do we have to say on that?
I say I'm going to hang up. I'm going to go find my fiancé. That's what I say.
Oh, don't hang up yet. Wait a minute. We've got 11 minutes. Don't hang up yet. Okay. Y'all heard it here on Word Sexy Radio.
I'm going to go ahead and grab my lube real quick and fornicate.
I'm going to go get my flashlight. Okay, look. I think Ms. Carter got a question. You got a question?
Yes, I do. I see everybody's having a really good time tonight. And I wish you all, you know, the best when you use whatever you're going to use tonight to have fun with.
Well, I'd rather have a pussy, but since I don't have one, the fuck, I'm going to have to do my hand.
The lonely man tonight.
Yeah, you know.
Do you have a blow-up doll or anything like that? Or
no blow-up doll, but I do have some. No, I don't have a blow-up doll. I'm sorry.
Okay.
No. I got a fleshlight, though. It's a pussy that's in a, like a flashlight contraption, but that shit don't work all the time.
Oh, you got like one of them suction cup type deals?
Yeah, I got one of them. Some motherfuckers. Yeah, I got that shit. You know, men have toys, too, you know.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But what's your question?
A man asked me one time, he asked me, he said, "Well, you know, do you ever have a use a dildo?" I went, "What?"
A dildo?
Hey.
Yeah, you know.
If a man is asking, you know where it's going.
Yeah.
Well, goddamn.
Yeah,
as guy love at its finest.
So,
anyway, my question was, have you ever collabed with anybody, or do you plan on doing that in the future? I know you touched on it just a little bit.
Yeah, I have, and I want to do more. Actually, I've done an anthology. One of the books I have is an anthology I did with another author. Her name is Essence Black, and we did that. And it was called Contagious Lust, and I'm going to be doing a part two to that, Contagious Lust 2, which I'm going to be getting some other authors together that are willing. And now that I have a few more friends that are willing to write erotica, we can do this thing. We'll probably be putting that out sometime in the summer of next year. So I'm going to be collaborating with some people. And I don't mind doing it. I would like to do a novel collabo with someone if they're interested. You know, I wouldn't mind doing that. I had a friend that I was with that interested in doing one with that we were going to do, but I guess something happened where we fell out. But I'm not going to say her name because I don't want to bust her out. She's still my friend, even though I may not be her friend anymore in her eyes. But still, the thing was, we had some ideas we were going to do, and I don't know what happened. She just, I guess I wasn't doing what she wanted me to do or whatever, and it fell off. But I am interested in doing a erotic novel or something of that nature with a woman. That would be nice. Or, you know, or even if it was a couple of guys doing it, we can do it. But I think it's more funner and more sensuous if it's man and woman. And then, of course, then the questions will be, how much did y'all do anything together to get the book written? You know how some of these people ask.
Hell yeah.
Did you take
my ass off? She is mad.
You know. Did y'all fuck first to see if that was going to work, you know, and it would be nice if that was possible. But like I said, and just to, okay, I did this collabo with Seductive Company. I did that with a porn star, but I did not fuck her. So I'm letting y'all know that now. There was no, we didn't even see each other. It didn't happen. So she's had much dick, and my dick wasn't shit anyway, probably. But, you know,
when you're a 90s porn star.
No, I'm just saying, if you're a 90s porn star, I mean, what's the average dick when you've had Mr. Marcus and all these other motherfuckers?
But see,
you know what I mean?
Remember,
you know,
man, because Mr. Marcus ain't packing. Let's be honest.
I know he's not. He's not, but what I'm saying
hell,
is... Well, what I'm saying is, you know, people, they look at this like, well, I've been with him. Why I want to be with your ass? You know, they might think, I don't know. Anyway.
Look, I've dated women in the industry and women who dance. And, you know, sometimes it's not about what
dancers.
You got.
Yeah,
it's
I love
about who
that.
You are. You know what I'm saying? If she digging you, you can have a 4-inch pecker and still rock her draws. And that's just.
But
real.
You know, it ain't about that. It's the width anyway, ain't the length. But that's another show. All right, now. now, to answer I hope I answered your question. I would love to do a collaboration with someone on a book.
Yeah,
that would be nice.
I wanted to ask this. I've never read an erotica book. I mean, I read a book that had a
little
sex in it, you know. Yeah, I've never read. And so I'm not, you know, I know I've seen people criticize and say, oh, the whole book was nothing about, they did this and they did that, and you know, and so I'm just wondering. I know some of them have stories and, you know, things like that. So, I mean, do you start off with it like that, or do you just, you
well,
know,
yeah, I mean, I have a book. It just depends. On my book, the first book I did, it started off with a woman in bed with her husband, and he wasn't getting her off. And she was looking up in the ceiling, and it was talking, and so she faked the orgasm. So it just depends. She was like, well, I'm going to get this motherfucker off of me. Okay, I'm coming. And he gets off of her. But she goes into the bathroom, and she masturbates about the night she had the night before because she was in an orgy. And she was loving that shit. So, you know, it just depends on the story. Like, if you read Seductive Company, the book that I was talking about, the prologue talks about this woman who was with this man that she was having sex with, and she was telling him what she wanted to do, and she was thinking about the things that she wanted to do to him. And then at the end, he said, by the way, what's your name? So it just, you know, it just depends. He didn't even know who he was fucking. He was just fucking her. And that's what was so good about this prologue that I wrote. I just love it. But anyway, it just, you know, it's not all sex, though. I don't write erotic fiction where the whole book is just fucking. Now, there's a lot of fucking in my book, but there is a plot to the story that if I took the sex out, you still have a story. That is the way I do it. Now, there are some people who write these books, and they just fuck all through the whole book.
Uh-huh.
That, to me, is porn.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The core.
So if you're just gonna do that, that's just porn. You might as well watch a film or something, or you know. But, mm-hmm. But my thing is you got to have some premise to the story, and not just that they're having sex.
Yeah.
So give us a try. Okay. Go out there and check out some Red Snapper or some Deviant or any other authors that are writing out there. You know, and check it out. Everybody has their own flavor of the way they write it, though. I mean, everybody's erotic fiction is not the same. So.
Kind of, it's like in that aspect, it's kind of like sex. You know, you kind of taste a bunch of different flavors to find out what it is you generally like. You know, you can't sleep with the first guy and be like, oh, this is it. This is the first person I've been with, and this is the best sex I'll ever have. You know, you have to venture out and kind of find out what suits you.
Cotton, what you doing back there? Cotton, what you doing back there? You talking to somebody. We can hear it. You having a conversation, and the lady's asking the question, baby.
I thought his phone on mute. I'm so sorry.
It's not on mute. We heard you talking shit to somebody back there. Anyway, go ahead, DB. I'm sorry for cutting you off, man. Go ahead, because we got 3 minutes left, and I'm going to have to do the outro here. So,
all right. Real quick.
Go ahead and finish your
What I would do is just pick up a bunch of, you know, erotic books, whether they be Kindle or Amazon or at your local bookstore, you know, by varying authors, and find out what it is that you enjoy, because everyone is going to tell you a different story. There's going to be some,
right.
You know, there's biracial, you know, intercourse out there, and that's erotica. There's, you know, two girls, two guys, you know, threesomes. So you basically want to find out what you're comfortable with. And then grow.
And all mine are 99 cents right now, so you can get them all. You can get all my books that's out right now for 99 cents a piece. $9, you can have all Red Snapper books.
Wow. That's another thing I put on Facebook about people, you know, at Amazon, you know, and the little bit of money you get, you know, from a 99 cent book.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you don't get much, but the only reason why I did that was because the recession is going on, and I want people to read my stuff.
Yeah,
I don't want them to say they can't buy it because it costs too much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my way of giving back to my fans. That's the reason why I'm doing that. Now, that's only till December 31st. So after that, they're going back up. So if you want to get them and you got that machine, you better go ahead and get them.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't make that much money from money from Kindle, especially with a 99 cent book. But sometimes it's more about exposure. You're going to take a hit, but as an author, it's not about, you know, you're not going to make that much money anyway. But if you can expose a bunch of people to that first book and they like it, then guess what? Mm-hmm. You guys are going to buy the next book and the next book and the next book because, you know, when you like an author, you know, you stick with that author.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Andrea was telling me, you know, she said
that's
it.
That's right.
Because I was saying, oh, you're not making any money. And she says, well, you know, it's not about the money. It's the exposure, getting people to know your name and who you are. You know,
Andrea's
everybody
a great
knows
author.
Who
that's another
her
author.
Uncle
I should have mentioned. Andrea is a great author. I should have mentioned her, too, because she's really good. And I hate to cut this off. We only got like a minute and a half. But I got to do this outro. But I thank everybody that came on, Ms. Rodriguez, everybody that was on the show, I thank you all for coming on tonight. And we're definitely going to be back next week with Miss Cotton and GPA. They're going to be doing their thing. And it's Poetry All next week. So, DV, get ready because we got this cocky dude that's going to be on here talking shit. And you heard a little bit from him before. So he's going to be on. So let's have questions for his ass. So we thank you all for coming on. And I'm going to be out. Thank you all for coming on, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
So here we go. All right. Thank you.